Hello, my name is Nick Harris, and I'm joined by Harry and Alfie from Hudson Taylor in the Birmingham leg of their current tour. How are you guys?
Hello, Nick.
How are you, man?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you guys?
Very good, thank you. Yes,
always nice to be in Birmingham.
Yeah? Oh, so 8 months ago, you played Curiosity, the coffee shop in Birmingham University,
Warwick University,
and you spoke to Olivia, and you've been up to a lot since then. You've got your new album, the tour, and playing festivals. So it's been a busy year for you guys.
It has indeed, yeah. We've kicked off 2015 to a lovely start. We released our album actually just in Ireland, only for the moment, but we're waiting to release it in March in the rest of the world. We're on tour at the moment, going all the way up and down the UK and over to Ireland.
And probably our favourite thing to be
favourite
doing.
Favourite thing to be doing is being out on the road, Like you say, the last time we were in Warwick University, we played in a little coffee shop tour, and that was just the two of us. So this is nice to be like out on a big stage with a load of our friends kind of backing us up as well.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm a fresher, so I was gutted to miss that last year. I was pretty gutted to see that you guys have played the coffee shop in on campus. No, don't worry about it. I'm making up for it now by coming to interview you guys, even better. So, as you said, you're on your Singing for Strangers tour. So how's it going? It's going well.
It's going brilliant, man. We were this is our sixth date now. And already, have some stories that we probably won't forget for our whole lives, Like, we had a power cut.
I was going to ask you about that.
In Edinburgh, we had a power cut in the encore. The whole stage went quiet, and then all the sound went off and everything. So we plugged out and just jumped in the crowd
and did a bit of busking.
Oh, nice!
And people really sang all the words with us and everything. That was really nice. And all the gigs, to be honest, we've just been blown away by the reaction because we don't have an album out. People are coming out to see us in the hundreds, you know, and singing the words to our songs, which aren't even out yet.
Yeah,
I mean, some of them are out, but you know, some of the ones people are just
people have obviously
found on YouTube,
looked them up on YouTube, done their research, and kind of like learnt them from these scrappy videos.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because I was going to say you sold out nearly everywhere. You sold out tonight. That
That's great, man.
Delighted, man.
It's a really nice feeling.
Yeah. So you supported Codeline and Jake Bug, so it must be great to be headlining.
It's lovely to do headline, yeah, because supporting. As much as it's amazing because you're playing to big audiences usually, that's the thing is they're not usually there to see you, so the difference is staggering. Plus you don't get to play as long for support. Like you always play half an hour, 40 minutes, and you'll be itching to play more. In this, we can kind of do as much as we want, and that's what we do. We've been doing like an hour and 15, hour and 20 kind of every night, and you come off feeling really satisfied. You played all the songs you could possibly play. And you're like, no, I think we've done enough now tonight. I'm not going to do a Springsteen on it and do 3 hours.
4 hours.
But yeah, we're liking it. Loving it, man.
Brilliant. Well, I know Olivia asked you spoke to you about this last year, but there's no way I can ignore it. I was at that Rolling Stones gig.
You were?
2 years ago, yeah, I was. And I must say, I'm delighted that I've got to see you guys, because that was the first time I'd seen you. And it sounds bad, but it was kind of a blessing that Tommy Joe had a chest infection. because it was great to see you guys.
Might not offend us, maybe, if that hadn't happened. But
yeah, it was. I don't even know. I feel bad saying it was lucky or anything like that. It was sort of just the circumstance, wasn't it? Just sort of how it happened, and we made the most out of the opportunity, I suppose.
I'd say Tom Odell gets a good few Google alerts every now and then.
He does interviews from us,
because he always comes up in our interviews. People ask about the Rolling Stones thing. So yeah, that was a fantastic, amazing thing. That it's kind of a career highlight that. You know, again, it happened 2 years ago. We still don't have our album out, but it happened. Something that's so big that you're just never going to be able to probably top it.
I mean, how did you sort of compose yourselves to walk on in front of 60,000 people?
There's no time to even think about it, man.
Yeah. So it was like 20 minutes.
20 minutes really? Notice, basically, what happened. It was 20 minutes before the Stones, before Tom Odell was supposed to go on. He said he had a chest infection, can't do it. So the promoter contacted our manager and asked, would the lads like to take the stage? And we went, the lads are us. And yes, we would. So our manager said, lads, you're on stage, 20 minutes.
It was like our drummer was in the shower, and it was his first day ever playing with us.
Oh, wow.
They wouldn't let us on stage because we didn't have the right passes. They wouldn't let our crew people go to the tower because they didn't have enough, you know, all sorts of things.
Absolutely,
so
mental.
We used to play Tom O'Dell's kit.
Because I was going to say, I remember his drum kit being on there. A bit of confusion but you play on that. I can't remember. Did you use his kit
because there wasn't enough time. Like, they needed to get chopped off, you know.
That was really, really fun. As Harry said, a career highlight.
Did you get to meet the Stones at all?
No. Sure, everybody was almost trying to meet them it would have been nice,
but elusive.
Maybe if we ever do
we can tell them the story.
Well, I mean, I'm delighted.
And it was a good one because it's their 50th anniversary as well, so they won't. It's not like they're going to forget.
And that was the first time you'd seen us.
I'm delighted that I did. Honestly, that was amazing. That was fantastic. Yeah, and I was also lucky to see you at Reading last year as well.
Oh, that was one of my favorites
of the whole summer, man.
Yeah, I love that because you had Southern perform before you. That was the first I'd seen them as well.
I
had a mate who was like, "We need to go and see Southern." So I said, "Yeah, absolutely," because I want to go see Hudson Taylor who are after. And Southern were terrific. I really loved them as well.
Yeah, you guys smashed as well.
I'm looking forward to seeing them as well tonight.
Should be good.
But it was a full tent at Reading, and that must have been great.
That was crazy. That was one of my favourite gigs.
We sort of felt after that show, we've been in the UK now for about 3 years, touring around a lot, like touring with Jake Bugg, and just a lot of UK touring, a lot of UK promotion and stuff like that as well. And
that was the first time where we really thought it's kind of starting to pay off.
It was a
very visible physical thing that you were like, wow, there's no denying that this
we've only ever got this in Dublin before.
Tent was absolutely packed.
People
were arms in the air and all doing this.
First time we ever had like choreography sort of stuff, you know?
Wavy arms, cool. You know.
Yeah, that was brilliant. So it was quite a contrast from doing a little coffee shop in Warwick University to this.
It certainly was. Yeah. But then again, the little intimate ones, like the coffee shop tour, that was extremely fun. A lot of fun. What an opportunity to play in front of students, you know, people the same age as us, really, every day at lunchtime. You know, I thought it was a great idea. We loved the coffee shop tour.
So you've had 4 EPs so far, and you've just released your Sing for Strangers album in Ireland. You said it was coming out in
March. It's coming out in March here, and everywhere else. The reason for it coming out Ireland first is because it's where we're from, and it's a much smaller place.
We spent a lot of time there.
We've done everything that you could possibly do there, and so our record label...
Maybe in a few years,
say for example in Ireland our record label, we're like, okay, now's the time to do it because we have everything lined up and ready to go, let's do it. Whereas in the UK they were like, no, we're not ready yet.
It's a shame.
We would have loved to have had it out ages
been
ago
done. It was like the album was done sort of in December. So it sort of, you know, we were sort of thinking, oh, January, and then it just ended up being Ireland going with January, unfortunately.
And we wouldn't release it in February, the album in February, because that's where we're on tour, so you can't do any promo properly for
right
it.
And that reached number 3 in the Ireland.
It did, man.
That's really good.
Crazy,
stuff,
man. We were delighted. Absolutely delighted.
I can imagine. It
was just amazing. We got such a great reception when we went home. We got to go on a thing called the Late Late Show, which is a show on every Friday night in Dublin or in Ireland.
Like Graham Norton or something.
It's sort of like Graham Norton.
And we've been watching that since we were kids, and that was really enjoyable. Go to see all the radio stations as well, which is really cool, and see our family and celebrate.
Well, I can't wait to hear the album as well.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to
it when it comes out over here. You've got 50,000 subscribers on YouTube, almost 6 million views, and almost 100,000 likes on Facebook. I don't know if you knew that, but
there you go, research,
and that's really impressive. I mean,
Thank you. You must
be happy with that. Is that like that must
yeah,
be?
I mean, we've been on the various forms of internet websites for quite a long time. You know, you're going back like sort of 8 years really when we put stuff first up, 9 years nearly when we first put stuff on YouTube. Imagine that.
It's nearly
9 years, something crazy like that. When we first put stuff on YouTube, so it's quite cool. Like, man, like the numbers kind of build up, whatever. we don't really tell anyone to go and do anything. Don't know. We never say to someone like. I always think it's a really interesting kind of psyche or thing to kind of imagine those as actual people and try and imagine 100,000 people in a room or whatever. Like, that's obviously like a huge stadium. It's 100,000 people. And they're all, and these people, those, each one of those individual people are dotted all around the globe, you know, whether it's in like Germany or America or Ireland or England or Australia. Like, we're getting all these messages all the time, like, when are you coming to Australia, when are you doing this, and that's just this one person of your 100,000 people or whatever else. And it's just, yeah, it's a remarkable thing. It's great. It's lovely to be able to think about it at them as people, as opposed to just like just numbers, because ultimately, when they write a comment, that's someone behind a computer just going, like, they've taken the time to write that comment, you know. I always think it's a very humbling experience.
Yeah, and you said you haven't, like, released an album yet in England, so, I mean, people have, like, got to know your music through this social
media. Word of mouth,
through Facebook and YouTube.
People sharing stuff and friends just saying, oh, have you seen this kind of thing.
We have to be very careful with new songs, because they just go they just sort of get put up on YouTube or something like that, and then we're like, oh, we sort of wanted to keep that one, you know.
But it's a really nice, lovely thing.
Yeah, really nice.
I mean, two of your biggest videos on YouTube are Weapons and Battles. And they're really good videos.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
How do you sort of, well, they're quite unique and quite, there's a story behind them.
I mean, Battles is the idea we had for a long time, pretty much since the song was written. The idea, we wanted some kind of Lord of the Flies-esque type thing with tribes and just kids. We just thought, it had this image of like kids kind of fighting and stuff. Kind of it's a little bit satirical almost in a way, because it's quite an aggressive song, so it was quite kind of cool to get kids fighting.
And we had the idea in like 2012 when we released our first EP, Battles EP. And we had the idea then, but never really got to execute it, just because of the money, like to do a music video and stuff like that. And
yeah, we weren't signed at the time, so we didn't have that kind of funding. And then when we got signed, we were able to kind of, labels have money for videos and stuff, so we got to do that. And the Weapons one was actually just an idea that some director brought to us.
Okay.
And we just really liked it. So
yeah, really liked it, and got to speak to the actor as well. And
kind of we refined it, obviously, a little bit, just so we could feel like we had a very definite role in making it. But I love that video, actually, that Weapons video.
It's
because obviously we released that like quite a long time ago now, about a year ago I'd say, and you kind of forget, like when you do something a year ago you almost forget about it. I love that. The great thing about like YouTube or something like that is like you can just go back on it and be like, oh yeah, yeah, sure, that's that thing that we did, that, you know.
It's got quite a few 100,000 views now. It's
it's nice, like, it's really nice. It's good.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Irish talent coming through at the moment. You've obviously got Southern who are supporting you tonight, yourselves, Walking on Cars, Codeline, and James Vincent McMorrow.
Yeah, Hosier.
Hosier as well, of course. Why do you think that is?
I don't know, man. I mean,
something in the water.
Something in the water. I think perhaps, potentially, the recession was felt pretty bad in Ireland, like maybe more so than in the UK, and because there's a history of kind of culturally like music and art and things like that in Ireland, like it's, after all, it is known as the land of the poets or whatever. It's like there's something like that, I can't remember what the saying is, but you get a lot of people who come out of the woodwork, as it seems, when the times are hard. They're like, all the poets are like, well, I'll just write some songs and do, you know, and hope for the best. And I suppose, you know,
I also think, I mean, each band's success can sort of almost lead to the other, or success can lead to the other. So
expires.
Codeline sort of might come out with something which will then open a door for another Irish band, or Hosier the same.
Yeah, like a style almost.
With Damien Rice. That's you right. know,
I mean, Damien Rice is like the classic as well, but we really like him. Like, I think he's a great lad. He's obviously getting on a bit now. He's like in his 40s.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
His early stuff that he released set the tone in the start of the early 2000s for this kind of, like, you know, it's almost like planted the seed and let loads of people all around the world suddenly started picking up acoustic guitars and singing songs because of people like him, people like Jack Johnson, singer-songwriters, basically just suddenly came back. And I think that kind of plants a seed and makes kind of bands come back into the public eye instead of just all dance music.
Because it's great to see. I'm a huge fan of this sort of music as well. So, and Damien Rice, he busked in Dublin. It's the same place where you did. Yeah. Isn't that right? So, I mean, there's something really...
Yeah, totally.
We used to sort of walk past every Christmas Eve and see Damien Rice, Bono, bunch of people, they all busk.
Van Hansard, all these people, they'd just be standing at the top of Grafton Street busking for charity. And they'd have hundreds of people around.
Really nice. Sort of inspired us to go busking as well.
I can imagine, yeah. Absolutely. Finally, I wanted to ask you if you've got any plans for after your tour, like in the summer with festivals. Have you got any plans for the summer?
I've got a load of festivals, I'd say, but we haven't yet been finalised or haven't got to announce them just yet.
But over the last few years, we've done quite a few festivals.
Yeah. Last year and the year before, I think we did pretty much two every weekend.
The whole summer.
Yeah. So some of them weren't like massive commercial ones, they're smaller ones. Mm. Just some of those are the best ones though, so
hopefully this year with our album coming out we'll be booked for a lot more, if not the same amount.
I don't know what your plans are to do with Reading and Leeds, but I mean, you obviously filled out the tent last
time. Hopefully
we can
go back and do another stage,
it'd
be really cool.
Amazing,
really cool. We'd love that.
I mean, I'd love to see that as well. Best of luck with the tour
and
the album release. Thank you very much for talking to me.
Cheers. Thanks
a million. And I can't wait to hear the album.
Thank you.
Alfie and Harry from Hudson Taylor.
Thanks a million for the chat.